Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our future's so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
I think the easiest way to know if you're not in alignment is you wake up and you don't want to do your day. Most of us don't listen. Like, most of us don't listen to our bodies. Most of us don't listen to our souls or our hearts. And it's about having enough quiet time to be able to actually listen to what feels good. What's calling me? What's making me excited? We fall out of alignment. We fall out of integrity to ourselves by not pursuing what we really want. Not pursuing what we know is right to us. But rather, what works. Instead of creating a reality that is our own, we allow our life to just happen. Now we feel stuck. Now we feel like we're on a hamster wheel. Now we feel like we've prisoned ourselves in our own reality. So that's so important, because opposite of self-trust is hesitation. And hesitation and distraction are the number one and two killer of every car accident. Right? Number one, two, hesitation and distraction. Paying off a debt as well as other things made me have this moment of like, whoa, I can do anything. Now what do I really want to go do? And it's one of the most powerful moments of my whole life, and one of the scariest ones as well. In 2018, I really felt my ego took over. I made some decisions that they were ego. They were, let's do it. Let's build a big business. Let's do this. And so we built the largest business I've ever built. Had over 40 team members. And I remember this day in April of 2019. $1 million month. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is depressing. And I know this feeling, right? Goals from the ego, when you hit them, they're always depressing. I remember one day I had to let go 34 team members on one Zoom call. Probably one of the worst days of my life. People always talk about alignment. Alignment doesn't always mean that it's like easy. Alignment can be really tough some days. I remember that next month, I went to Necker Island to be in this mastermind. Richard Branson was there for a few days. I started just sketching out, you know, in this place where I just feel like it was the epicenter of your heart. And I was like, what do I really want? And it's like my ego vanished. It's like my ego, gone. For just a moment, it was like, it just hit me. I started writing it down on these two or three pages. I still have them. I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to build. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this is how I'm going to do it. And over the last couple of years, that's what I've been building, allowing me to build a business at an amazing profit that allows me to be an investor, that allows me to, you know, work only 20 to 25 hours a week. That has been the journey to this place of like harmony and balance and creation. Right? I don't believe in the notion of like you can have it all. I do believe in the notion that once you decide what you want, you can have it. But you can't have everything. You can have some things, but you can't have everything. So you just got to be intentional about what you do want. You know, I think harmony is having, you know, a business that actually is profitable. I think harmony is feeling like you're aligned in your life. And so I think harmony is trying to find that balance, which has seasons. Harmony doesn't necessarily mean that you're always happy. But harmony allows you to not be in this state of overwhelm. It's been mostly unbelievable, to be honest. The biggest thing I've worked on over the last year is upper limiting. Forget about the physical things. Forget about the money and, like, you know, a beautiful house and my dream car and like the relationship that I literally gave up on when I was a teenager, because I was like, well, I'm never going to be able to have that dream girl. Forget about all those things. I'm just my relationship with myself. That's unbelievable. I don't think we can go around and sell a version of that. Harmony isn't about not working, or harmony isn't about, you know, doing certain things. But harmony for me is like, I really feel, it's almost like my car is on cruise control and I'm just in the back having a good time. And I don't have to worry about anything. One of the most difficult things is to actually accept harmony. Accept, well, it can be this good. How good can I take it, right? How good can I take it? Because harmony requires you to take it pretty good. What do you really want? Is it a supercar? Nope, okay. Is it this? You want to be able to take care of your family. Okay, what's the number? Let's get there. Because when you get there, you actually wake up. The next morning, once you hit that, you get to wake up. And you get to ask yourself, for who I am, for what I want to do, how do I go and actually do it now? So say that you've been able to get into to understand what your alignment is. right? Let's say also that you've committed to being responsible for yourself, right? Saying goodbye to constraints. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, I have this. Oh, I have that. I have this responsibility. I have that responsibility. And what do you do next? Right? What's that next piece that allows you to, that I found at least, that allows you to be able to always be at the right time and the right place? That's the ability to realize that you create every reality, always. Like, you are the creator of your reality on a consistent basis, every single day. You know, a large part of life is how you manage energy, how you're able to manage your own energy, how you're able to manage energy in a room, how you're able to manage the energy between you and another person, like your relationship. Everything you see in the world, you can explain in energy. Attention is energy, right? Awareness is energy. Presence is energy. To be able to direct your presence, attention, and awareness on a daily basis, to be able to consciously create your reality, now that you know that you have the alignment and that you're utilizing your intuition and that you trust that that version's the right version, that's how you wake up every single morning and you know I'm going the right way, right? And not only am I going the right way, but I'm creating that reality right now and I'm going to make that happen. And you have the ownership of that. I've got this. It might take me 2 days. It might take me 2 years. It might take me 20 years. But by God, I'm not getting off the planet until that's done. That is happening. When we don't have alignment, we don't have our intuition, we don't take self-responsibility, we allow fate to happen instead of us being able to consciously say, this is what we want to do. I took the sabbatical. During the sabbatical, it was a time for me to really find the alignment. And I spent a lot of, I was like, well, what am I going to do? What do I want to change? Well, I look back and I say, well, I spent $1 million on mentorship, coaching, and everything over the last 4 years. I would not be where I am today. I would not have harmony if I was, but 2017, I was flailing. 2016, 2017, flailing. It was mentors. It was coaches. It was healers. It was therapists. It was hypnotherapy. It was a group of people. It was all these different methodologies of taking strategy and tactics, of course, but the mindset and evolving myself to be able to create this reality I am in right now, for me to be able to actually create my reality. Since 2015, I've helped coaches and mentors and authors and all these different types of people, but I fell into it. There was no day I decided I am going to change this, because I was still paying off the debt. I was still filling my own cup up. And so when I was able to take that time away to go and say, well, okay, well, what do I want to change? I was like, wow, no. I'm in the right time or the right place. And these are the people I want to help, because these are the people that are going to help consciousness evolve. These are the people that help transformation happen when it comes to health and wealth and ourself. And how do we create a scenario? What is the best reality 30 years from now? And the answer is I don't know. But I do know that helping the greatest experts and healers and people that create transformation and that help other people make money and that help people with their health and help people with all those things that allow for people to get to the highest level of hierarchy of needs, which is harmony, was the answer.
I see my possibility. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله thank you for joining us this evening for Wealth Creation and Preservation الحمد لله we just played a little clip from a entrepreneur's name is Scott Oldford and speaking about harmony and balance and alignment and goal setting and achievement. Alhamdulillah, today, tonight, we're going to be addressing the Quran's faith deed master principle for goal attainment. My co-host will be joining us very shortly, inshallah. Oh, shout it and shout. She's shouting at herself. So you're up in her, huh? So,
I am.
How you doing?
My computer, I have been on putting this electronics to work today. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you have too many windows open and you keep opening and closing, they like, hold on, wait a minute, freeze.
So you're doing too much as the language goes.
Start over.
Yeah, wonderful. Alhamdulillah. Well, it's great to see you always. Last time I saw you, last weekend, huh? About 6 days ago.
Last weekend, I was on TT duty.
Yeah. That is good. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to move on, and we're going to get what you got. I appreciate your recommendation today. I mean, from the first minute, I was, okay, nothing else to listen to. Let's go. So
let's go.
I'm going to turn you loose on it. Go ahead. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalamu wa rahmatullahi.
And I'm in this space of speaking to reject the media ideas that they say, you should feel this way, you should think this way, your emotions should be this today because of that. I'm in this space of like really training myself to do that because one of our lines for my company is control your narrative. And the narrative is in the language you speak, in the words you use, in the words you consume. And when we say things that we consume is not always in food. It's in the company. It's in the community. It's in the weather. It's like all of these things affect how we show up. So since I was little, I've always been intrigued with emotion. Right, intrigued with character. I'm an artist initially. You know, I started in the space of art. I was always intrigued by seeing actors, and I think that the bug hit me when I went to see my first theater play, and it was a very different experience seeing live human beings on stage as opposed to on television, because it felt real. It was real, the vibrations of the music, the seeing the bodies and the way they lit it. Like, there's a science to the whole experience. So I enjoyed that part of it. And because I've always been a heavy daydreamer, I've always been strongly empathic. And even with my sisters, the way that we played, it was much like this experience of us channeling certain emotions and experiences and telling ourselves stories. So it was nurtured in that space. And I wrote my first play in sixth grade, and teacher Carla, who was our principal, Claire Muhammad School, was telling me the story about that. And let me just draw you into what today's experience was. Like, it's right before we came on here, I watched a documentary called Given Voices or Our Voice or something like that. But it was basically, it's a documentary about an August Wilson scholarship competition with young students. When I saw the trailer for it some time back, I was like, oh, that, you know, that looks good, right? And so today I had time, because I used today as this day to really follow the spirit of understanding, you know, what am I going to talk about? You know, like I asked, okay, what is the message that we will be meeting today? What is it that I will have to offer in this space that we share together on wealth creation preservation? And it was beautiful, and it was very emotional in watching it, because you know, I'm in this season of really discovering why certain choices I made, like, why am I into art? My son came here, and he's an absolutely brilliant artist, and the struggle to be an inspiration, right, to be inspired, and what that takes. So I've been studying inspiration. I talked about it last week. I've been studying this ideal of inspiration, and that this inspiration in the Quran, it has many. The root of it is also it's also translated as spirit, as wind. And then it was a few ayahs sort of mentioned rest, right? And I was like, okay. So, you know, with the Quran, the beauty of its language is it will send you into and one word will open up the multiverse, right? And it's a good multiverse, let me say that, cause for those who are movie buffs. This multiple universe is based on this one word. And it could be, you know, as I structure certain classes with other women that I work with, like, your life can be encompassed in one single solitary word in the Quran. Is all of the things you need for your purpose in life, right? And so I went down the rabbit hole for it. And so my note that I started with is, you know, this understanding, like, as Black people, we constantly, we talk about this ancestral lineage, right? And Adam is our father, right? So we think of Adam, and we think about this experience that Adam, when we look at the story of Adam, we should see ourselves. We should seek to understand a thing. And in one thing my dad told me is, like, you got to choose the avenue. Like, if it starts to lean a little too far, it's like, okay, there's no ease there, right? You should be able to ease into and then follow that trail. It should not veer off. Like, there might be a road that you can take there, but it's not paved, right? So when I started, I was like, okay, breath, spirit, what is this, right? And so this ideal of listening, right? So what jumped out for me in watching this, obviously because I'm a scriptwriter, is he said that when he would write, I want this character to say this, that, that. And when he went to the workshop, they said, no, the characters will speak for you. Like, you'll hear them, and you write who they are, right? Don't decide. You have to surrender to this process. And I cried, because I know this to be true, as a songwriter, as a script writer, like, you know, you hear the rhythm. Miles, he said he hears the rhythm. He was doing a interview, and he said, are you always there? He said, I hear music right now. Like, while he was talking to him, he's like, I hear it right now. And to most, they don't understand what that process is, right? And to many, to an artist, we feel like such outsiders, like there's something wrong with me. Like this is weird. Like why do I have these dreams and then I have these moments where there are things that I visualize and things like that, right? And so what I've learned to do is just dump all the thoughts, just all the thoughts, and then you start to move the Lego pieces to see what you build. And when I think about that, there's this energy of course, I have always been drawn to the story of Hagar. And I said this to my mom yesterday. I said, when we look at Hagar, that this experience that she had in the desert, that the water gushed forward, right? But when this water gushed forward so that it would not flood, she had to create a boundary. You know, there had to be something to give it logic, to give it a structure, form, so that you're not overcome, right? So when I think of us as women, it's easy for us to get emotionally overcome, right? And that's the water gushing for our bodies have a water experience monthly, right? When we carry a human being, they live in water inside of us, right? Like there's all of these things that happen that we are a great deal of water. But what happens is we have to create the logic to house it so that it becomes functional, so that there is a need in which, you know, the regular human being can do that. It's we don't squelch it out, right? But we do offer it to logic. And, you know, it sent me in this whole other direction, even with the importance of marriage, right? That you honor the logic that your husband brings to the table, and he honors the water that you bring to it in order to create a structure, to give it form, the form of community, the form of family, the form of marriage, the building of society, the building of culture through this marriage, right? Because this is what we bring when we come together to solidify a reality, right? And so when I was thinking about this idea of Adam, like the best way that we, when we get to know Adam and know how he received and how he received and what that language is, that we have to recognize what exactly are we listening to, right? And in listening to what Allah has asked for us, then all of the resources that Allah says that we have access to, they bow, they surrender, they say, oh, okay, this is what Camila is asking for, because she is surrendering to what it is that Allah has asked for. I don't have my notes in front of me, but then there was this ayat, and I'll pull it up. I hope my screen didn't go out, but I wanted to, you know, what I wrote was just this idea of Adam as the entrepreneur, right? And that Adam learned it. This is Surah 2, Ayah 37, the English translation, was that Adam learned from his Lord a word of inspiration, and his Lord turned towards him, and he's all forgiving, most merciful. So when we look at this idea of, okay, well, who is structuring your language? Like, where are your words coming from? Like, what is this? And this idea of words, the root is an action, and it can also be translated as conversation, like this communicate, right? So conversation was another translation. So when you're having a conversation, you're communicating. And so when you are communicating, who are you, who do you want to communicate with, right? We, like, Allah taught us how to communicate through salat, through nature, through the seasons. Like, these are our means of communication. And as when we think historically for us as Bilalians and our experience and the atrocities of this American experience, that, you know, there was, Harriet Tubman had a communication that said, ma'am, this is your task. I know it's not comfortable. I know you may not want to do this, but it's like, okay, but it's good. It's right. It is a move for justice. It is in being obedient to what God wants for his creation, for humanity. When Nat Turner, he had the Bible, it's like, but it was God that inspired the interpretation that let him know, yeah, you know what? God has an idea for us, and this ain't it. So I'm ready to fight and go to war for it, right? And carry on and on. Our Imam Muhammad, you know, Rahim Allahulay, like that the language that he has given us laid the bricks and foundation for us to be independent thinkers, for us to understand that we have the most right to this book, to this scripture, to in order to call us back to our nature. And this beautiful part of it is that so many ways in society they have sought to pervert the idea of the listening. And we need to reclaim what that means to listen, to hear and obey, right? That this listening is about understanding the tools of what are you listening to and what is it asking for you to move forward with. So when it says that Shaitan caused Adam to slip, right, from a space of felicity, and I'm paraphrasing, because it was like, it's his only task is to say you're not worthy. So the moment that you have a vision of something that is good for you, whether it's business, family, children, whatever, the moment that happens and it's saying, it's causing you to not engage that, we know that is Shaitan. Is this good? Is it good for you to be married? Absolutely. Is it good for you to be an entrepreneur? Absolutely. Is it good for you to build and be charitable? Absolutely. Okay, anything that's telling you that you're not worthy of having that, doing that, moving in that direction, then we're clear that that is the Shaitan, right? So on earth is your dwelling place for a time, right? And that this is furthering that ayat. That this dwelling place, it said it also is translated as that it's with ease, that it would I have to get this word because I want us to leave with knowing that when we came here, it was not to be hard. Like wa mata'un, I believe it's the wa mata'un, is like means of livelihood, provision. Right? On earth will be a dwelling place for a means of livelihood, provision. And there's other terms that made so much sense around that life is not to be hard. Like that's what I left with. I encourage you to go and take a further look at that. But this experience that if you're feeling stress and depression and anger, and that's not a lot of send us here for that, right? It is for you to explore it. It is for you to experience it and remember and be grateful, right? It is happening to us for a period of time so that we can remember what it is that we forgot. When Shaitan made us believe that we should not be afforded and be worthy of the love and abundance that Allah has given us, right? So when we are here and you feel those moments, if there is something where you are chasing after a thing that is not for you, then you know that you are distracted. You are distracted from what is truly yours and what is your provision. It's like, I already have it here for you. Why are you looking over there chasing after a thing that does not belong to you? In closing, I'll say this. I put up a post earlier today, and I was saying that, you know, I'm getting over cold. And then getting over the cold, when anything happens to me, I don't care what it is, I always ask myself, I say, okay, something, like when discomfort hits me, say, okay, something right, something's out of order. All right, so what is it that I got to do to get myself back into alignment? Because this is not normal for my body to be rejecting the activities that I've been having. And what I returned with is that, you know, this idea of chasing suggests that it is something that is unattainable. So people say, chase the bag, go get the bag. Or if you're chasing after a relationship or you're chasing after, that suggests that it is not for you. You're running after a thing when in actuality, the being and the fullness of who you are, you magnify yourself to attract what it is that you are, that is rightfully yours. You don't have to chase nothing. You don't have to chase it. If you running after a thing, you could be running from what is yours. So in being the fullness, the best parts of who you are, the greatness of who you are, returning to your natural self, you'll find yourself sitting in the very garden that you slipped from. You don't have to run from it. All you have to do is be in it, be full in it, show up fully in it, so that it will find you. If you're running after a thing, like if you're running after something and you're waiting for a delivery, you could be missing out on what's rightfully yours because you're chasing after an idea that the society is giving you, and that idea is a false idea that will never serve your soul, that will never give you the happiness that you seek because you're chasing after something that was never for you in the beginning. So what better way to do it than to be like, okay, I surrender to where I'm at right now, and whatever is for me, I'm preparing this vessel to receive all of what is mine by showing up in my fullness and my natural self and returning to the thing that I forgot and nurturing that to make room for what it is that I seek. So with that, I will stop and invite the Imam back into the room. Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, what I need you to carry on for a minute or two because I need to check something because I think the Facebook is on private and not public in some kind of way. I don't know. So I need to step away and go and see if I can change that setting or if I need to change that setting because there are people who are not connecting that want to be able to connect, and I can't see how to do that. All right, so carry on. Alhamdulillah, we are back. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, and I just have to be mindful of my, what is Shaitan doing now? Maybe it ain't always Shaitan. Maybe it's I'm talking about the technology, not anything else. So it seems like, you know, it's like, because you got something to drop, and then here you come. It seems like something's going on. But I'm going to pass that on and say that it's a mashallah. You know,
Marshall,
you say like you got a mouthful of mashed potatoes. You know, Marshall. I got to loop my page back because for some reason my mic is and it's disconnected. Let's do this.
Okay.
All right. Alhamdulillah. Into the studio, and there you go. So, love you, but I got to push you to the side.
I love you more.
Alhamdulillah, bismillah. Yes, so beautiful. Alhamdulillah. So, let's go with it. And we will be a little bit after the hour. I want to make sure that I'm cover the territory that I have in mind. Those of you who have been sending acknowledgments in the chat, we're going to check in with those before we close out. So we're not ignoring you. We're just going to close the program out like credits to a movie with your salutations and greetings and kind words, et cetera. But let's get to this here. Need to share this. All right. So, alhamdulillah, what we're addressing this evening, Scott Oldford, you know, was the person who we played about eight minute clip that was under this title. I believe you're seeing the screen now. It was under the title "For Entrepreneurs: Finding Balance, Alignment, Harmony, and Harmony in Our Business." And again, this is kind of like an initial prefatory statement that we want it to really get ingrained in our thinking and our understanding, taken for granted, that there are many, many materially successful non-Muslims. However, their best values are only a subset of our way of life, our deen, which is a complete set. Our deen is a complete set of divine values tied to the natural laws of creation. What we Muslim believers should take note of is that even their phenomenal success is upon only a subset, not even a whole set, of life principles that they built theirs upon. They don't even have the whole set of our values. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and Allah bless whom He will. And there are verses, of course, in the Quran that state that, some of which we may wind up iterating today. And in the short talk that he gave or that we played, he pointed out, you know, he had a month where he had made $1 million, you know, one of his months. And then in that same month, at that same time, at that quote-unquote same unveil, he said, like, this sucks, right? He was depressed. He said, this is depressing. You know, he's making $1 million a month and having that kind of experience, right? So the idea is that kind of success by someone who is not a Muslim, but upon, when you look into it, you see it's upon a value that is our value as well. But we have to do more with the blessing that is our way of life that we've received. Because there are those who are acting on just the principles, the axioms, which are part and parcel of the nature of creation, and they're getting the benefit from it. But we need to do better about that. I won't say we're not doing it, but we're not doing it as well as we should, and it should be done, must be done, and will only be done. You will only be successful upon your faith in those principles and those values, and that's what we're talking about today. Today, to the Quran's faith deed master principle for goal attainment. The Quran's faith deed master principle for goal attainment. This is what we're speaking of. And to continue, he said, among his many statements, he said, you create your own reality by finding harmony and balance in your goals. You create your own reality by finding harmony and balance in your goals. And he did a lot to speak about what that harmony was, what that balance was, what that alignment was, and how it relates to goals. Some of the very simple things that I say simple because, I mean, once you know, mashallah, they are simple. But if you don't know, they just totally escape you. But the point is that he talked about going somewhere for some master session or whatever with Richard Branson and blah, blah, blah. And he said that he had an experience at a point where, you know, his ego just disappeared. You know, it's like his ego just disappeared because he was criticizing those ego-based goals. But the point is, so moving away from that, is ego-based as opposed to your true calling, which is something that has been echoed through so many of the presenters that we share that are not Muslims, but they apply these principles, and that's a recurring theme is, what is your calling? What is your purpose? What is your gift? What is your contribution to the world? discover that that's the way that you're really going to make a difference. And yes, you will be remunerated for it, but the first of it is you need to know what it is and believe in that. But the ego-driven goals, as he expressed it, are those goals that, oh, that's what's popular, that's what's the big thing, that's what will feed my ego, that, et cetera. But it doesn't have that quality of being a part and parcel of your own reality and your sense of yourself as it relates to your own destiny in this world. When you don't have goals that are connected with that, they are short-lived, or in fact, not only if in the fact that they may be short-lived, because maybe some people may have some long lives under those goals, but it'll never get you to that level of satisfaction, that happiness, that radiallah, that pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so the point is that the idea is to have alignment, have goals that are balanced goals and the like. So here's a set of Quranic verses that are critical. You should keep these close by in your thinking as it relates to wealth creation in this world. 17th chapter, the 18th to the 22nd verse, I'll read an expression of them. And that is, أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. If any do wish for the transitory things of this life, we readily grant them such things as we will, to such persons as we will. It's really, 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 really important. Allah's will has everything to do with whatever happens, whatever you set as a goal, whatever you want to achieve, whatever it is you go after. Allah's will is between you and it. So when Allah is saying here, it's that we grant them to such as we will, to such persons as we will. And in the end, we provide hell for them. And that's for those people who only want this world's life. In the end, we provide hell for them. They will burn therein, disgraced and rejected. Those who do wish for the things of the hereafter, that is the life that comes after this life, and strive therefore with all due striving and have faith, they are the ones whose striving is acceptable to Allah. So that's the balanced striving. That's the harmony. That's the alignment. That's just one instance of speaking to it. That's the core of it. Strive for the excellent things in this world and also strive for the excellent in the life that comes hereafter. And that's a dua that we make all the time. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And protect us from the fires of sin, the imam points out to us, because that's what creates the hell for you. Read Surah Al-Qariyah and reflect on it, as Hajjah Kamila was telling you. Read the book and reflect on it. So in any case, that's where the balance is. So recognize that as the verse 2877, the imam introduced that to us. It was such an awakening for us to bring us back into this world in our aspirations for good, in obedience to Allah, having the good in this world, but in also recognizing the fact that we have this destiny that culminates in the judgment of God. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاخَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْتَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you. Allah, there's some means that Allah has made available to you. The life that comes after this life, and also take it as the destiny. But don't forget your share of this material world. So reach beyond the grave, if you will. Have a sense of that destiny. Have a sense of that judgment. But don't forget your share of this material world, because there's so many blessings here, so many precious things, so many valuable things, so many wonderful things, so many excellent things. And God tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Go after all of them. Go after all of them. And so strive after what is excellent. But don't forget your share of this material world, but don't get wrapped up in this material world only. You have to have the balance. We are Ummat al-Wusta. Balance is our way of life. And then the verse 20, it goes on, of the bounties of your Lord, we bestow freely on all, these as well as those. The bounties of your Lord are not closed to anyone. Think about it. Can you think of somebody that he said, man, this cat is corrupt. This woman is a mess. But they have billions. Allah, his bounties are open to all in this world. See how we have bestowed more on some than others. That's God again reminding you, it's my will, right? We have bestowed more on some than on others, but verily the hereafter is even greater in rank and gradation and more in excellence. Take not with Allah another object of worship, or you, O man, will sit in disgrace and destitution. All right, so that's a core set of verses that go to the idea, yeah, we believe in harmony. We believe in balance as it relates to our goals and our aspirations for as far as wealth creation and preservation is concerned. That's what we have to do. So that's a reinforcement how this particular presenter, again, is confirmatory to the value of Islamic values, of the Quranic values. So let's get to some details here. Now, believe and do. Believe and do. This is how you succeed. You take that. Believe and do. You have to believe, and then you have to do something. Okay? If you can believe, you can believe, but if you don't do anything, no good. Believe and do. Believe and do. And that is the constant refrain of the Quran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and do. I'm abbreviating. Those who believe and do. That's it. Many of these comments that I'm sharing with you today come from a, I don't remember. I can't put a year on it. But look here, a khutbah from the past that under the title of Put Your Faith in Action. Put your faith in action. Well, you got to slow down when you hear that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got to put your faith in action. No, listen again. Put your faith in action. So you want to get something, you want to have something, you want to accomplish something, you want to achieve something. You know what's going to help you get, have, and achieve that? Action. Action. So put your faith, now, I didn't say into action. I didn't say put your faith into action. I said put your faith in action. So he said, you know what? Action is pretty trustworthy. Action is pretty good. Action usually tends to deliver on what it promises. So you know what? I'm going to put faith in action. Okay, now you're with me. So believe and do. That's the overarching principle. The mechanism for the transduction of intention and belief into reality. Listen, Hajjah Kamila was just telling you about the words. You have to. What are your words? What is your vocabulary? Listen, words are constructed to hold and carry meaning, and in the meaning is the energy. Huh? That's often talked about. In the meaning is the energy. Meaning is energy. Meaning is energy. Right now. Very quickly for the students, I just have to mention it to you. So you've heard it before. Take another look at it. God said he created us growing gradually from the earth, growing like a plant. All right, how do plants grow? Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. What is the correlate of photosynthesis in a plant and the cognitive correlate, the spiritual correlate, the intellectual correlate for us as human beings? What is the photosynthesis of us? The photosynthesis of us is being able to read the signs in creation, because photo is a picture. Picture is a sign. Synthesis is and interpretation means the same. Synthesis and interpretation actually mean the same thing. Interpreterate. Interpreterate, it means going between, right? Synthesis is putting things together. So photosynthesis is seeing the connection, seeing the union, seeing the correlation between a thing that you see objectively and what is abstract message, meaning, or what the information is. What is the information? The sun has information. The moon has information. The behavior of the star, moon, sun, plants, et cetera, they have information. You as a human being, you have to go in there and draw out that meaning so so as to be able to apply it to your life. This is nothing new for the students of the Imam. The Imam Muhammad tells us about, has told us about, rahimahullah alayh, creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic, that's a principle. That's a principle, you know, where you look at the creation, you read it, you translate what you're reading from that phenomena in creation and see what is its social mirror, what is it mirroring socially speaking. Then you take the logic from that, meaning the behavior of it, and then translate that behavior into society. Now that is creation-supported social logic. And so things should work as well as they do in nature. It's just thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All of this is how this is brought down and brought into reality. Everything I've just talked to you about, that's photosynthesis. That's photosynthesis. That's, you see a picture, you see a sign, you see an object, you see a phenomena, you abstract from it. Well, what does it mean socially? What does it mean cognitively? All right, and what does that look like in application? That's the translation. So therefore, just like the sunlight is converted into food and energy for the plant, then so the plant is fed by and through that process of photosynthesis, and that's how it grows. Well, that's how we grow as human beings as well, when we have a greater capacity for reading the nature of creation, interpreting it as it applies to society, and institutionalize it with some kind of structure, some kind of behavior, some kind of, well, structure, institution. All right, so, yeah, I know I went a little further than I wanted to go on that, but mashallah. So here, so all that had to do with what? It had to do with words, because you hear that word transduction, and, you know, so, okay, I'm checking out. Here we go. Listen. The only way you're able to hear what you're hearing is transduction. The only reason that you're able to see what you're seeing is transduction. The only way you're able to smell what you smell is transduction. The only way you're able to taste what you taste, transduction. The only way you're able to feel what you feel is transduction. So you can simply look it up. But the point is that when you see something, that thing is not literally in your head. That thing is outside your head. But if you were blind, you wouldn't be able to see it. It would still be there, but you wouldn't be able to see it. What's happening when you're seeing it? When you're seeing it, there's light coming from that object, and that light is entering in and striking on a mechanism in the back of your eye. And that light striking on whatever, the rods and cones or whatever in the back of your eye, that light gets translated into electrochemical signal, and from your eye, it sends that message to your brain, and your brain reproduces an image of what you're seeing out there. So that whatever you're looking at, it doesn't matter. That thing is not in your head, right? Let's go with my watch. My watch is not in my head, right? But the light striking off of it, and then the light going into the retina, and the retina forming the electrochemical messengers, and then it goes on. Then it gets to the occipital lobe of the brain, and says, "This is what you're seeing." Effectively, this is what you're seeing. What was all that? How did that thing stay out there but also still get into my head so that I can have a sense that is there? Transduction. Same way with smell. That's what happens with the chemicals, with hearing. It happens with vibration, with touch. It happens with tactile senses, all that. Transduction. Okay. So the point is that transduction is the translation of one thing into something else. The translation of one thing into something else. We're talking about something that is not existing and bringing it into existence. I'm saying to you, the beginning of the things that we're talking about creating, like whatever it is that you don't have right now, whatever it is that you're going after, then you're trying to bring it into reality. Excuse me. You're trying to bring it into reality. Well, there's going to be some transduction involved, because wherever it is that you are trying to achieve, acquire, accept. Let's do something quick. Whatever, car. Let's just say I want a car. Okay. You want a car. Okay, well, there's got to be some transduction going on because it is where it is, but you want to get it to where you are. In order for you to get it from where it is to where you are, there has to be some transduction happen. In order for me to be able to see, feel, taste, touch, smell, whatever it is that's out there, then I have to have the machinery, the mechanism, the apparatus that makes that transduction possible. I'm saying to you, the transduction of what you don't have to what you do have is a process of transduction. And the transduction is between your intention, excuse me, I have a little cough drop here. Your intention gets transduced into a reality. I can go fast and go slow, but let me just slow down. It looks like I'm only going to get to this place. Aloha, Adam. Let's go. So here on the left, let's just go slow, because we're talking about how intention and belief becomes a reality, okay? Let me go ahead and highlight that for you. This is what we're talking about. What is he talking about? He's talking about the transduction of intention and belief into reality. What is he talking about? He's talking about the transduction of intention and belief into reality. Okay? All right. So now, let me help you out so you can understand what you're looking at. When you look to the left, the picture on the left, it's actually the same thing as on the right. You just have a little more detail here on the right. All right? And this piece that's in the middle there is talking about this transduction here. All right? Both of these arrows are talking about something moving from here to here. And the first one, first segment, it says your will, your intention, your plan, okay? I use the example of a car, okay? You have the will, you have the intention, and you will have to have a plan to get the car. Going back to when I kind of diverged a bit in our conversation, the gentleman said that he had gone to this master session with Richard Branson, blah, blah, blah. He said at that time his ego just kind of dissolved, and he just started writing these goals. He started writing these, I want to do this, I want to have that, 3 pages, blah, 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 so he still has them. All right. Well, see, that plan is actually the first part of the manifestation. I'm going to use that word, but when I say manifestation, don't jump to what you think you've always heard about man. We're not saying the same thing. I don't want to say the same thing, okay? But I know that's the word that we use. Point is that a plan, listen, please, a plan is a mechanism. I know we're used to thinking about mechanisms as something that has many parts, you know, like a car is a mechanism, whatever. Doesn't matter. Mixing bowl machine, whatever. Mechanism. Right? No, a plan is in the universal scheme of reality, a plan is a mechanism. Believe that. Because without the plan, you can't get anything started. And where does the plan come from? The plan comes from your will and intention. If you intend to do something, first step into three-dimensional reality is the plan. If you don't have a plan, how many times have you heard this? People don't plan to fail, they just fail to plan. Why? Because it's a law in the nature of creation that there is a plan, that there be a plan, right? So the beginning of this transduction process calls for a plan. So I put them all in one package right now, will, intention, plan. So that's where you are. You're sitting there with your will, your intention, your plan. The destiny is for that plan going up, is material creation of the will, intention, and plan in three-dimensional space and time. You want to see that car in your driveway. I'm just using that because it's just easy to talk about, right? Nothing wrong with it. You have, yeah, some people need a car, so that should be that should be your plan. That's good. I'll be luck. All right. I don't want you to make a mistake and trivialize what I'm saying, because I'm not really concerned so much about any material thing that we accomplish. I'm concerned about being able to know, look, this is the process. So you can go after as big of a matter or big of a thing that you want to. Doesn't matter how big, how small. But the point is you need to know the process, the mechanism for it. And that's really what I'm talking about. All right, so it starts with will, intention, plan from there. And the ultimate destiny that you're seeking to achieve is the material creation of what you will, intend, and plan in three-dimensional space and time. You want to see that car in your driveway. That's that. That's what you want. Okay, you got to have that. Okay, but it's not just poof, poof. It's not just get up in the morning, affirmation, look in the mirror, you're great, you're wonderful, blah, blah, blah. Not to belittle that, but I'm just saying that that's not how that thing gets in your driveway, right? Remember, you have to put faith in action, right? You have to believe and do. Well, what are you going to do? Your doing has to be based on your plan. And your plan has to be a good one, and you have to believe in your own plan. Okay, so now let's go to this little middle piece here. At conception, that is, when you form this will, form this intention, and certainly when you write that plan, that conception, at that conception, you simultaneously, meaning at the same time you form that in your consciousness, it also virtually, not three-dimensionally, virtually, it's not concrete, it's abstract, but real, in a dimension that it exists, that exists, right? And simultaneously and virtually forms in a particular field of the source of all things. It's not Allah. I'm not talking about Allah when I say the source of all things. I'm talking about in three-dimensional space. I'm telling you, it is a fact and it's a point. I just have to tell you these. You've heard these things, and I don't know if you've been on the fence about it, having heard it before, but let me tell you, with regard to quantum fields, zero-point field, all the rest of that, get off the fence. It's real. It's actual. I mean, Einstein himself is like, really couldn't get it clear straight, but it was real, it was undeniable, and it's a fact. It is a fact. The difference for us as Muslims is that those people who discover that and confirm that and affirm that experimentally and demonstrate that, you know, it's like, yeah, good, okay, so now let's go further and get the understanding so that we can have the final answer for what reality is or what have you. See, so they're pressing on without many of them. There are those who believe in God, no doubt about it. But there are many of them who are thinking that, okay, we're going to get to a point to be able to prove that there is no God. That's not necessarily their total aim or what have you. But there are those who take scientific discovery as the basis upon which they can deny God. Okay, well, that's their problem. But for us, when we get the science, please listen. When we get that science, I'm going to have to write on my little plate right here so I can get it to you. Look at this. S-I-G-N-S. Okay. That's signs, right? Okay. What's this? M-I-G-N-O-N. What's that? How do you say that? Have you ever had filet mignon? You ever had filet mignon? That's mignon. All right. So let me go ahead and make it bigger. It's going to mess up the space a little bit, but mashallah, what's more important is, okay, so you have this, you have science, and you have mignon. Yeah, pardon me, you have science. I gave up the punchline. Mignon. So then, how do you really pronounce this word? If this is mignon, and you get mignon, you get this here, well then, that's what also happens when you switch this up, science. It's the same thing. It's hidden in plain sight. The sign is the science. The sign is the science. A lot could be said about it. But I just want you to understand, we said you have to believe in the signs and follow the signs and read the signs. It's also, it's a statement about science. All right? All right, so go with me. So scientists make these great discoveries as Allah created the intellect to make such discoveries, right? He created the intellect makes those discoveries. Now, the believer, I'm talking about the believing science, even and who is not a Muslim, yeah, Muslims for sure, but even the one who is not a Muslim and a scientist, right? They look for the meaning and the understanding, i.e. from God about this. Our blessing is, as believers, like that's standard for us. We don't have to deviate from our religious system being, okay, well, we're going to have to step away from our religious system and we have to think about it this way. I know this is not supported in our religious system, and I haven't rejected our religious system, them. I haven't rejected our religion, but we need to look at this a little bit differently than maybe what's been said in the Bible or maybe what's been said in this book, whatever. But for us as Muslims, that's standard. For us as Muslims, reading the signs is to take even, and I'm saying to you right now, just like I talk about the transduction. Transduction is a real process, and it's a process that can be understood and is understood and that is taught academically, intellectually, scientifically, materially. It's taught, and it's learned, and people use it. Our doctors help us with all the senses that might not be working on the basis of that, and that's good. That takes care of our material life. But as Muslims, believers and servants of Allah, we start with the understanding that everything in creation is a sign in which Allah is communicating. He has preserved information in it that through that sign, he means for that information to reach us. God created it, embedded information in it. We call it meaning. He created it. He embedded information in it. The meaning is there, and then God tells you, reflect on it, think on it, study it, observe it, understand it. That's what God tells us. So the reality, sun, moon, star, and everything else, right? This is Abraham, literally, what I'm talking about. So then when you see this material thing, let's get back to exactly what I'm trying to get you to appreciate. This quantum field, it's real, it's actual, it's confirmed, it exists, right? So therefore, it's a sign, right? So you have to look at it. Okay, it's a sign. It's telling me something about something in my life. This is what's going to be today, brother and sister. But I did already tell you we're going to go a little bit longer, so I'm going to take a breath. Stay with me. So everything we look at in creation, beautiful. It's been discovered. It's wonderful. It's quote-unquote, it's been deciphered in terms of how it operates and what it's made of and et cetera, this law, that law, this phenomenon, that phenomenon, all wonderful things. But that's just like a textbook. When I say but, that's just like that. And that's just like a textbook. So it's like creation is a textbook, right? Okay, so the chapter that I'm talking about now is the chapter on quantum fields, right? And the chapter on quantum fields talks about observation and the impact of observation and the fundamental makeup of this field, talks about it. It's a reality. And it's influenced by intention. Now, scientists in the lab, scientists in that part of the lab that work for whoever, Eli Lilly and company, we ain't paying you for that. Don't get state. Tell us about that part over there. Do that other stuff on your own time, right? But for the Muslim believer, it's like, that's where I'm going, because its ultimate utilization and its ultimate value is how it relates to the guidance of God. That deserves a breath and a pause. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَادَ. Do you know that that surah, Surah Al-A'la and Al-Kafirun, were the principal surah that the Prophet would recite most often after his Jumu'ah khutbah? He would do the Jumu'ah khutbah, and then those two chapters would be the main ones that he would recite. It would take too long to go into it for now, but the point is that, see, everything that Allah has created, khalaqa, it's been given a form. Fasawa, it's been given a place within the universal system. Fasawa, like the quantum field, it has a place within the universal system. So, waqaddara, there's a way that it grows from simple to complex, right? And then, but you're not finished with whatever it is we're talking about. We could be talking about anything, but we're talking about quantum field. فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَادَ. فَهَادَ means, and it has a role in the guidance of God. Do you know the role of the quantum field in the guidance of God? Allah knows best, and Allah only knows. But he created it, and it functions in a particular kind of way. And then he tells us in the Quran, سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, I created all this, including the quantum field. I created all this for your service. All of this for your service. Go back and read those stories about Suleiman and Dawood and their greatness. Read that section, especially in the sections when you have them both mentioned there together. That's why I want you to go there so you can get the riches. And think, look at all the powers and capabilities and gifts and graces that Allah gave to both of them, and Suleiman especially, because that's what it's for. Creation is created to serve you, but can only serve you when you can name it. I know you're hearing me. You can only serve when, how are you going to name it? Well, you're not going to be able to name it until you study it, and you will not have named it until you understand خَلَقَ سَوَا قَدْرَ هَدَى with regard to it. All right, Fahim, therefore, what does all that mean? Well, what it means for what we're saying to you right now. When you, and listen, I'm going to give you another. Those of you who are more inclined to, quote, unquote, scholarly confirmation for it, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's good, because that's what I'm using, that's what I do. Muhammad Iqbal, I-Q-B-A-L, Reconstruction of Religious Thought, the Reconstruction of Religious, what I'm saying to you right now, you can find even deeper in that. It's basically just an article, really. And he's just talking about the nature of thought and the foundation of it. This is a Muslim, bona fide, strong, total, you know, Muslim at the highest level. And so what I'm saying, you can find what he's speaking of also as a confirmation of this scientific reality here of the quantum field. What I'm trying to get across to you is that there's a source of power. Oh, I'll give you another place to go. The Field, literally, you call it The Field, the title. And the woman's name is Lynn McTaggart. And I think she also has another one called The Intention Project. So I'm just saying, laying out to you some sources of people have unpacked some of this material for us. Okay. So when you understand that Allah has created what he's created for it to serve us. It's not going to serve us until we know it, when we know it, because that's when the angels bow. The angels bow when you can name them, and naming them is actually a scientific process. So the point is, when you understand these things that we're talking about, then the power of those things come into your access. And that's by God's design. Okay, so what am I saying? Let me go ahead and read this line then. At conception, it simultaneously and virtually forms in its particular field of the source of all things. The source of all things for this reference is the quantum field. It is the quantum field. And 67, 1 through 4, right there, it's talking about the unitary, that is the singular nature of reality. That's what those verses of the Quran are talking about. That go out, search the heavens and the earth, and see if you can find any seams in it. See if you can find any seams in it. There are no seams, no breaks. Everything is one. Everything is connected. Everything is connected. That's what our Quran says. Everything, and there's no doubt about it. I'm just saying it because the Quran says it, but there's no doubt about it. Okay, so what does that mean? That means I'm connected with the seen, and I'm also connected with the unseen. Do you know that the majority of the universe that we are in right now is, I'll use a number like 90%, I know that's safe, 90% unseen. Dark matter, dark energy, what we see in the quote-unquote visible universe, all the Hubble telescope and whatever else, whatever the latest one was that went up there, it's like all that visible universe is less than 20% of the reality of creation. And dark matter, dark energy is not fully understood by the scientific world. But what we're speaking about now in terms of this field is this. So that being said, brother and sister, when you look at that reality, that unity, and the reality that you and I are part of it. When you conceive of something, you are actually creating it, but only virtually. Now, what you have to do is begin to act on that conception in order to move it from where it is virtually to where you are actually. Let me read this paragraph in the middle here, because this is how that happens. So believe and do, faith in deeds, is the master idea. There's a mental aspect of creativity, which is believing, knowing, intending, attending, visualizing, mentally rehearsing, having conviction about something. That's the mental side of creativity. Without any of those things, you haven't even got started. All right? And those are the works of the abstract body. The illustration here is like that more kind of atomic-looking thing that's like the abstract body, right? And it is acting in the field, like right now. As I think right now, my thoughts are not just what is in my head. My thoughts are a part of the nature of creation. My thoughts are a part of the creation itself. In fact, my capacity for thinking is by virtue of the nature of this milieu that we call the creation. You'd have to get to the reconstruction of religious thought with Iqbal. He makes it clear for you. So therefore, the idea is that you have an abstract body and you have a concrete body. The abstract body is the source for your beliefs, your knowledge, your intention, your visualization, your mental rehearsal, etc. All that's coming from your psychic body, another way of saying it, your abstract body. All right. Now, so that's where your belief is. Your belief is in your abstract body. Your belief is in that body, which is the real you. That's where your faith is, right? Now, you have to get your body to act in accordance with your beliefs. It's like, okay, if my body is my horse, right? If my body is my horse and I have something that I need to do, well, who's going to help me get there? But hey, giddy up. You know, it's the horse has got to do it, right? So you can't just sit there with your thoughts and your will and your intention and your plan, et cetera, and never do anything. Okay, well, now that's where the physical body, that's where your body comes in. The physical aspects of creativity, you have to have both. You have to have the abstract content and you have to have the concrete content. So you have the aspect that comes from the internal, the abstract body, and you have the outer behavior, literally, which is from the physical behavior. So the physical aspects of creativity, that car that you're trying to get, there's something that you're going to have to do in accordance with the plan that you have in order to start that process and generate the movement of it from where it is to where you are. And the physical aspects of creativity is sustained behavior in line with the will, the intention, and the plan. How many people have good plans, but the plan is in the dustbin? The plan is on the shelf. The plan is under the pillow or whatever. It's like, what? You're not doing anything with the plans, and that's why nothing is happening, right? But if you can get both of those things together, the mental aspects and the physical aspects, the action of the abstract body and the action of the concrete body in accordance with the will and intention and their plan, then those things begin to get transduced that I just described to you. That is the transduction process. And let me tell you what give you Quran and the Bible. I'm gonna cut out at 6:15, literally, so you can set your mind, situation, whatever, for that. In the Bible, there's a statement, says faith, I think it's Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the substance, meaning that the fact that you have faith in it is what makes it be. So what I'm saying here, at conception, it simultaneously and virtually forms in the particular field of the source of all things. That's what happens when you have this will and this intention. In that aspect of the realm of reality, not in the three-dimensional space and time, in virtual, in the field itself, that faith that it exists is what brings it into form. I'm gonna drop a word on you because I can't take the time to detail, but superposition. These things you should look up. Those of you that I really want to get with what it's saying, I really want to understand what it's saying, but you know, it's kind of out there. Yeah, it's good. It's out there a little bit. So, superposition, quantum field, get that. Because the point is that in the creation are all possibilities. Possibilities don't take on a particular form until someone forms an intention and a will for them. It's all possible. But they don't begin to take form until someone has a will and intention to bring them into existence. And they first come into existence only virtually. But the very fact that you have faith in it as a possibility, it begins to take on virtual form. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Meaning, you believe in it, then that means that you have given it a virtual form in the field. I'll just call it now the field. You have given it virtual form in the field. I don't see it. You don't see it. But once you really have faith in it, it exists. And the very fact that you have faith in it is the substance of its existence. When you lose faith in it, then it ceases to exist. It virtually no longer is. For why? Because you lost faith in it. But as long as you have faith in it, then it exists in that form. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Now, brother, but we believe in the Quran, so yeah, you can't just use the Bible as, but no, I don't. I don't. But we believe in what was revealed to the prophet and what was revealed before his time, right? How do you know what's revealed? When it's the truth. How do you know it's the truth? Well, the Quran is El Furqan. It's the criteria, right? So, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, 37 through 40. So 53. So, listen to what it says. And you've heard it 100 times. I say that easily. Man can have but what he strives for. You've heard that before? Man can have but what he strives for. Now, here's where, like the Scott Oldford in the beginning of the broadcast today, he said, most of us don't listen. We don't listen to our body. We don't listen to our soul. That's what he said. We don't listen to our body. We don't listen to our soul. We don't listen to our heart. So I'm inviting you. Listen when I say this again. And see if you hear something a little bit different. Man can have, and in fact, that's another thing. It's what the Quran tells us. I believe it's 39:18. I hope I'm right. I think it's 39 chapter 18 verse. Look it up. The believers are those who seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. They seek. That's the word in the verse, astema. They seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. So there's multiple meanings in it. So let's see for what we're saying now, what kind of meaning can we get? Man can have but what he strives for, then what? Soon what he strives for will come into sight. Where was it before it came into sight? Man can have but what he strives for. Okay, he's striving. What is he striving for? What is he striving? He's striving for something what? That he can't see. Man can have so he's striving for something that he can't see. How do you know he can't see it? Because God says soon it will come into sight. So that means he can't see it. But what is he striving for? He's striving for something that he believes is there. He's striving for something that he believes can be done, can be achieved. Man can have but what he strives for. Then soon will what he strives for come into sight. So what does it mean? When you have a will, you have an intention, you have a plan, you bring it into virtual existence. And then what do? You act on the plan, and acting on the plan is striving for it. When you stop acting on the plan, you're not striving. And the less you strive, the less you believe, the less it continues to exist, and sooner or later it's not there, and you're on something else, whatever. The point is, you stay on that, right? And as you move, acting on your plan, and I had a lot of details in there, we can't get to them today, as you continue to strive, then you come more and more closer to and in possession of what you strive for. Yes, there's some details in there, but that's the point. The point is you have will, you have intention, you have a plan. That will, intention, and plan brings it into virtual reality. Now you strive in accordance with that plan, and that brings more and more tangibility, more and more formalization, more and more actualization towards the thing or of the thing that you had planned on and that you strove for. And when you strive with due striving, as the verse we read, 17, chapter 18, verse 22, that verse 19, I believe it is, when you strive with that due striving, that's what it, you strive in the right way, with the right will, intention, and plan, then soon you'll be in possession of it. Soon you'll be rewarded with the fullest reward. You'll be in full possession of it. That's the transduction that I'm talking about. That's the transduction. When you, what you've done, you've transduced your intention and your belief into reality. That's plain. It's like, no matter how mystified you got in the middle of what I was saying, just come on through the clouds and say, oh, I get it, right? Will, intention, plan, abstract body, believe, know, intend, attend, visualize, mentally rehearse, hold on to your conviction. All right, have that plan. All right, the plan, it represents on this side of quote-unquote reality, it represents the virtual design, thing that you hope to accomplish, and it exists virtually in the reality of the creation, but it comes into tangibility the more you act on the correct plan in the right way. Then you'll come into possession of it. And that's what the last slide over there, and I'm going to end. So it starts here, down here at the bottom. It starts here, origination in imagination and virtualization in the foundation of creation. That's it. Just take a minute and just work it through. Origination, it started. In what? Your imagination. You have to have an image of it in your head. And that's imagination, origination in imagination. And what happens when it originates in your imagination? That starts the virtualization. That's the virtualization is a product of your imagination, right? Don't put no pejorative commentary on that. It's like, yeah, your imagination brings about the virtualization. So it virtually exists, right? Where does it virtually exist? It exists in the foundation of creation, the field. It exists. But it only exists virtually. Now you have to hold on to it in your abstract body and act according to a proper plan relative to what you hope to achieve. Stay consistent in acting on that plan. Soon you'll be in possession of what you have imagined and what you have visualized, inshallah. Thank you for your patience, and I'm going to let you know there's several other pages that we're going to one day, inshallah, get to allow Adam. But let's go. All right, we're going to have to check out, so we're going to sign out by recognizing our folks that have been spending time coming with us. I'm gonna click through some of these comments, and Haja, if you got something that you want to say, go ahead. I'm just gonna throw up some of these greetings that are here. That's it.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is always an extensive conversation. I think that if we don't leave with anything else, for us to really engage and take hold of this gift of the Quran, start where you're at. And it will evolve to you. Like, don't run to it to try and conquer it. Let it do its work on you. Let us be very aware of that. It'll make our experience, this human experience, we're having a lot easier than if we're trying to do something knowing that we have access to the answer.
Alhamdulillah. And I've had my email up for the whole broadcast. I'm doing that deliberately. So, like, if you have a question, something that you want to get a detail or a comment, a question on some of the things I said, because one of the things that I never want to do is leave anyone, quote-unquote, confused. That's the last thing I want to do. Confused. Mm-hmm. And questions, you ask questions. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said the right question is half of knowledge. So your question, you may unlock a very big treasure in yourself just by asking your question. And inshallah, I would hope you take it that obviously there are a lot of things that I've studied that I can't elaborate on, but I'm also very willing and interested to share those things that I don't have the opportunity to complete or flesh out maybe on a broadcast. And I don't want to leave you without the benefit of something if you're ready for it in terms of that question. And I'll reply as time and opportunity permits. So if you have a question, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. You want some clarification? If you've already been looking into something and you're trying to connect a dot that you think that maybe I can connect that dot for you, it's an invitation. It's an open invitation for you to do so. Okay? All right. That's going to be it for us. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Allah's peace be on you. Have a wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.